expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today I'm having a split show, two call-in guests. The first is Sterling Gallagher. He was the Commissioner of Revenue under Jay Hammond, Governor Hammond, and we're going to talk about the creation of the permanent fund and the dividend and put some unique myths to rest, hopefully. Then the second half of the show is going to be with past Attorney General Treg Taylor, and we're going to talk about potential resource development and everything that's going on. So first is Sterling. Sterling, how you doing, sir?
Just fine.
How is Anchorage treating you?
I'm getting treated.
Now, you were quite, what's the term I'm looking for? Youthful. Yes, youthful. When you were the Commissioner of Revenue for the state of Alaska under Hammond, and you basically, you created the financial programs and institutions that Alaska still lives on.
Yeah, I had a vision. And I became Commissioner the day I turned 32. So.
Now, you also created the permanent fund, and then later on, subsequently, the permanent dividend fund. And the permanent fund was created by a vote of the people, and it was put into our Constitution, basically. And it was called back then, as they're putting this all together, it was advertised as the Rainy Day Fund. Am I correct?
You got it. The Rainy Day Fund and me never
stuck, but that was the marketing. When all the money's gone from the oil, we're going to have this fund.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not much into rainy day, and then you end up having this state, a town called Ketchikan, where it rains 180 days.
254 inches a year on average in a, yeah. And then, so that was what created in 76, 77?
76.
Okay.
In 75, they had a vote, and it passed the legislature, but it wasn't a constitutional, and Jay vetoed it and sent it back for, so it got, it came into being in 76.
Why did he veto it?
Because he wanted to make sure it was constitutional.
So, as I thought, but I just wanted you to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the corporation, how you manage it, came into existence in 81. And the first investments of the permanent fund were treasury bills.
The safest thing you could get in the world.
Right. But here's a point in here. The staff said, should we invest in Alaska? And I said, under no uncertain terms, you should not. And I had gone to Alberta to see how their sovereign wealth fund was set up. And Alberta's fund was $4 billion at the time, but it was a lot invested in Alberta, and it was struggling.
Well, it was politically operated.
Yes.
And you, by not investing in Alaska, you kept the political shenanigans out.
That's right. I mean, there's enough. Alaska is a very small town, and you know, I can't keep track of all the little things that go on in Alaska in this small town aspect. So we wanted to keep the corruption out of it. And so I told the staff, and it isn't in statute, but the staff got the message, you shall not put it in Alaska.
And then we looked at the permanent fund dividend. The first dividend came out, what, 80, 81, the $1,000 check?
Yes.
I remember getting that going, wow. And
let's stop just a minute.
Okay.
And think about how many people are in the state. I think there's 370,000, is there not?
No, in the state there's 700,000.
Okay.
Or back then? Back then, you mean?
Oh, back then, yeah, it was 300,000.
Yeah.
And by the way, the average age of Alaskan at that point in time was 24.
I was thinking 28, but I will stand corrected on that number.
So it's real different to set up a fund to help 32-year-olds versus 42-year-olds or 24-year-olds. And the difference is the 24-year-olds have their life in front of them and the 42-year-olds have obligations.
True. Now, the intent of the dividend, how did that come about? Whose idea was it, and how did it go about coming out?
It was Jay's, and the problem with the dividend is such set up in statute, it isn't constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, governors who want to balance the budget come along and balance the budget out of the permanent fund earnings.
And you were with Governor Walker's office when he was the one who pierced the veil.
I was. He fired me.
Go figure. But then you had the Anchorage senator sue the governor of the state of Alaska, saying you have to pay this. And the Alaska Supreme Court said no. You do not. It's like an annual appropriation to be appropriated by the legislature.
Yeah, and that's therein lies the problem. Of all the earnings, and every Alaskan has, you know, $120,000 net worth tied up in this fund. And my question to you, 100 Alaskans, are you getting good money for your $120,000? It pays for 70% of state government. And let me say a few things. I may sound prejudiced.
Go ahead.
When I was commissioner, we hadn't raised the gasoline tax in maybe 5 or 6 years. The gasoline tax at that point in time is 8 cents. It's still 8 cents, you know, 51 years later. And guess what the rest of the United States is? The next lowest one is 17 cents. The average is 44 cents. And the high is, I think, 48 or 49 cents. And we're sitting at 8. Now, that tax used to pay for all the highway maintenance. I assure you, it doesn't even come close anymore.
True.
Another tax is the jet fuel tax.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have the biggest commercial airport, you know, freight airport in the United States. It's at 2 cents when you fly out of Alaska, you pay 2 cents. When you fly into Alaska, you pay 13. Most of the states are around 13. So, I mean, even in a tax that easily could go a long way to balancing the budget, we can't raise taxes because, someone might pay, you know, a tax. It's ridiculous.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the dividend, okay?
Sure.
And Fairbanks, you're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial. We'll live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Sterling Gallagher, the Commissioner of Revenue under Governor Jay Hammond, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
A night of music, adventure, and dinosaurs. Bring the whole family to Jurassic Park in concert with the Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra, November 1st and 2nd at the Carlson Center. Get tickets now at fairbankssymphony.org.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m., Behind the Mission with the United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, and your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
You can plan on it every day. You're either building something or you're repairing and adjusting stuff around the house. The list is long, from squeaking hinges to the annoying kitchen cabinet that refuses to stay shut. Well, there's always something, right? Sticky doors to the occasional wiring job and everything in between. You need tools, and Century Hardware has your back with the hand tools, power tools, and the largest selection of fasteners in the interior. Open every day. Century Hardware. What you need right now.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with a chance for scattered rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 37. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance of snow showers. Lows level off around 25. More clouds than sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 31. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Sterling Gallagher calling in from Anchorage on the phone with me. How you doing, sir?
Fine.
So how did Hammond find you? The quick version, please.
I never met him until after the election, and it was a close election. He won by 78 votes. Anyway, the advertising manager of the bank had been working on his campaign. He says he went and gave Jay my resume, and I decided I wanted to do it because, you know, Prudhoe Bay wasn't organized yet, and it was a very transitional time and the state government, so I thought it would be useful to do it.
So we have two different philosophies between Bruce Tangeman and the other gentleman, John Faulkner, and they all look at what Jay Hammond's intent was. Well, intent is one thing, statute, laws or something else. But some people say that Jay Hammond's intent was in the budget. The first thing before anything else that gets paid is the dividend. That's John Faulkner's portion there. And Bruce Tangeman, he says, you know, the past commissioner of revenue says, no, that's not it. And people who want to do that make the case of saying, okay, you pay this next, now you can have taxes to pay for education and everything like that. Was Jay's intent ever to, the first thing that must be paid is the dividend?
We didn't have enough experience at that point in time. The fund was little. My view on that one?
Yeah.
I think we have to put it in the Constitution, and I'll give you a good
Hold it now. Hold it. your view is it should go in the Constitution, so it's not statutory anymore, but it's a permanent formula function.
Yes, they ignore the statute even though it's there. It's the law, and so I don't know if we're not going to follow the law, then we at least have to follow the Constitution.
True, but every legislator that goes down there knows that you can't be bound by prior legislative restrictions or doctrines on how you spend the money that you get to appropriate. And that was the basis of Walker's fight. Hence, you got fired.
Yeah, and Walker didn't win a second term. And I mean, the people do deserve better. But, you know, I'll give you a good example.
Mm-hmm.
The permanent fund is distorting what's going on in Alaska. And a good example is the municipality of Anchorage. 40% of the tax base is tax exempt in this town. And the whole burden is borne by 60% of the tax base. So you have a hospital, one pays taxes, one doesn't. The richest guys in town who own the military housing and all those soldiers, they don't pay any property tax. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So the
South Central Foundation.
Yes.
a for-profit entity under a non-profit shell.
Right.
So
it's distorting what's going on in Alaska, and I think the people deserve getting, you know, their dividends.
Yeah, you know, in Fairbanks here, we have the housing out at Fort Wainwright pay a PILT, a payment in lieu of taxes. That's negotiated and agreed to.
And how is it?
It works.
Is it?
Yeah, it increases, you know, about every 5 years, they get it renegotiated, and it goes up, depending on values of property. Yeah. And Fairbanks gets a portion of it, and the Fairbanks North Star Borough gets a portion of it. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work that well at Anchorage. I think those guys pay some lieu in taxes, but it ain't even close.
Well, let's go back to the dividend. I know you're, you know, looking at other things, but you came on the show to talk about the dividend.
Go back to the dividend. The earnings of the fund right now, it also distorts the how they invest the fund, because so much of the fund is being used to pay operating costs, and so they got to make sure they got the cash to pay the operating costs. And that's what Commissioner Crum is in that lawsuit over, and he's absolutely right. I mean, there's an allocation problem in the permanent fund of about, between various funds, they have $7 billion in treasury bills. Come on.
That's the lowest rate of return you're going to get.
Yeah. And then they wonder why there's no money for the dividend. I mean, it's because of it. It's warping policy.
So basically, if they put it in an index fund such as the NASDAQ, you know, that the average between 12% and 18% a year, they'd be doing better than the 6.5% that they get. And if you take a look at inflation, they're actually only getting about 2-3% rate of return over inflation.
And not only that, their staff is costing over one.
I mean, yeah. Boy, you know, you've trained me well over the years, my friend. And you never told me this part. I just figured that out for myself.
Right.
Oh, goodness. So how can the managers of the permanent fund change their modus operandi to, you know, to say, yes, we will accept more risk. That's moderated risk acceptance.
I got on the permanent fund board agenda in a last meeting, and I said, your statute is fine, but you haven't kept up with the market. And the market has options and things like that.
Different instruments you can invest in or use.
Yes. Like I manage money for people, and I make an average around 30% a year. But I use an intense amount of options.
Yeah.
And options takes a lot of work, and you really got to stay on top of it. But the other thing they don't do is invest in commodities. Well, one thing commodities are good for is they keep up with inflation. If you did a covered call on options, you'd get about 12-13% on, you know, writing an option on 1 month oil gets you about a 12% return.
But they're investing in T-bills.
They're investing in T-bills.
Hmm.
I mean, and, you know, they have other funds, but...
Do you think, you know, it seems like, you know, I'm ambivalent towards the permanent fund. My thought is if you try and put an income tax on me, there better be no distribution of the permanent fund. That's my philosophy. Simple as that. Do you think that if they put the vote to have the permanent fund dividend with a statute, with a formula into the Constitution of the state of Alaska, do you think it would pass the voters?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, Dick Randolph was one who, I believe, was one who said, okay, if we're going to have a dividend, we're not having income taxes, and he stopped the income taxes.
Yeah, well, the income tax, I was around when they did away with the income tax, and Jay asked me, should we veto it? And I says, you know, it's not a great thing, but on the other hand, only four legislators voted against it.
Yeah, you'll get overridden there, buddy, is what you're saying.
Right.
Let's count our fingers here, Governor Hammond, and let's not go there.
Right.
Oh, man. Well, we got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. Really appreciate you being on here and just letting everyone know. And you know, I remember one time you came on here and you said, you know, one of the reasons why Jay put out the dividend was so people get used to watching what the legislature spends their money on so they don't waste it because this hurts the dividend.
Yes.
Yeah, I still remember that. Yeah, and I hear all these, you know, Bernadette Wilson talking about intent language, and this is what the governor meant. You weren't even alive back then, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
my God.
And then she gets Senator Showers, who's a good, very good senator, you know, an ex-Air Force pilot,
mm-hmm.
going to be her lieutenant governor. Come on, give me a break. He is a better person than she is when it comes to policy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But
it's just
that's why we have politics. That's also entertainment. So what the heck?
Right.
What do you got planned for the weekend? Anything fun?
No, I got to get some messes cleaned up in my house, you know.
Okay.
My house is in good shape. I got a renter and things like that now to increase my cash flow and things like that.
Okay. Well, hey, I appreciate you being on the radio with me, and you have a great weekend. And I'll.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. And Fairbanks, we're going to be back after some Fox News, state news, commercials, weather, and I'm going to give you some bumper music, Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper. I do not know who picks this. And then I'll be back with Craig Taylor, who's running for governor, past attorney general.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
This is a Fox News alert. John Saucier. The government shutdown means that millions of Americans are facing a weekend cutoff on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and it looks like they may have just been saved. Two federal judges have ruled nearly simultaneously that the Trump administration must continue to fund SNAP despite the shutdown. The rulings came a day before the Department of Agriculture was planning to freeze the payments to the SNAP program. The Agriculture Secretary is Brooke Rollins.
Democrats need to stop playing politics with the livelihoods of hardworking Americans and open the government now by voting for the clean resolution.
Democrats had argued that the administration had the emergency money to fund the food stamps, but was choosing not to in order to create political pressure. But again, now a federal judge is ordering the Trump administration to continue to fund SNAP. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTUU reports a new plan that removes the requirement for Fairbanks property owners to get an energy rating report was approved Wednesday by the Environmental Protection Agency. The reworked Fairbanks State Implementation Plan was created by the state during President Joe Biden's term in office, but included a requirement for homeowners that has been removed by the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. The proposed change was done in efforts to help curb air quality in the Fairbanks and outlying regions of interior Alaska, which often become choked with pollution from wood-burning stoves that is trapped by ultra-cold air in a sort of a bubble. Wood stoves constitute between 60% and 90% of all air pollution in the North Pole area and between 40 and 60% in the Fairbanks area, according to Nick Zarnecki, air quality manager with the DEC. On October 8th, the DEC proposed a repeal of an air quality rule in the Fairbanks area, which requires those selling their property to secure an energy rating report. And finally, on this Friday, have a great Halloween.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Listen to KFAR Monday through Friday at 7:40 a.m. and 2:03 p.m. for the Precious Metals Report brought to you by Gold Buyers of Alaska. You can trust Gold Buyers of Alaska and their incredible attention to detail. Buy or sell gold, silver, bullion, investment metals. Protect your wealth and build your individual retirement account with Gold Buyers of Alaska, 915 30th Avenue. The Precious Metals Report, Monday through Friday on KFAR at 7:40 a.m. and 2:03 p.m. Gold Buyers of Alaska.
Golden Heart City, get ready to pump up the kids. This holiday season, Last Frontier Media Active is proud to carry on a local legacy, the Adopt-A-Family program, started by Love, Inc. way back in 1995. And we're keeping the tradition with help from Napa Auto Care Group, Lotto Alaska, Kumon, and Samart Automotive. You can help families right here in our community by providing toys, clothes, and holiday essentials that make a real difference. This holiday season, we will continue the tradition of connecting families in need with generous adopters like you. Starting November 10th, tune in to learn how to adopt a family or donate. Let's keep the spirit alive, because together we can make this holiday season shine brighter than ever. Pump up the kids, adopt a family, because every family deserves to feel the magic of the holidays.
A special thank you goes to Lotto Alaska and the members of the Napa Auto Care Group, like Frontline Automotive, Gabe's Truck and Auto,
plus Kumon and Samard Automotive. Go to KFARradio.com for all the details.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I now have gubernatorial candidate and past Attorney General Treg Taylor on the radio. How are you doing, Treg?
I'm doing great, David. How are you doing?
Doing great. But before you became the Attorney General, what position did you have as a commissioner?
Well, before I became the Attorney General, I was the deputy that ran the civil division for the Department of Law for when Dunleavy came in. So that was the appointment I received. But before that, I obviously worked in private business in-house with ASRC Energy Services and then McKinley Capital as well. So I have a lot of business experience.
So how does the, you know, you were there with the Department of Law, as all this is being put together on the gas line, let's talk about that. What do you think?
What are my thoughts on it?
I am
bullish on the gas line. I think all the tea leaves are pointing to very good news come December. The legislative caucus had some hearings about a month ago, And already we've had some additional good news come out of Asia on those types of things. At that time that they had the caucus, heard the hearing, they had 10 million tons of letters of intent from companies in Asia. Now we're at 12 million tons as of a few days ago with another Japanese company.
What do you think the magic number is on millions of tons?
Well, I think their goal is 20 million tons annually, but they need, I think, about 16 million tons for viability. And so we're starting to see that number just tick up. And they're, like I said, we're at 12 already. And I think and then we got the news that potentially China might be a buyer of that natural gas as well. So we'll see how that, I don't know whether that rubs you the wrong way or the right way, but it certainly bodes well for getting that gas.
I would love to sell them a resource and get some of our trade deficit back.
No, I think, well, that's obviously what's going on, those tariff talks that China's having with the Trump administration. And certainly Trump keeps pushing this project, and that's part of his tariff negotiations with China, with Taiwan, with Thailand, with South Korea, and Japan. So, I mean, there's really good news coming out of that aspect. And I happened to ask him about the interconnect that Fairbanks cares about. And so the project fully integrates that interconnect and the required permits.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talked about that line still needs to be built, and that, but they did indicate that a lot of work has already been done on that, including the route for that spur line into Fairbanks, because I think that's absolutely vital that we get that spur line done and bring down the energy costs for people in Fairbanks.
Yeah, one of the last things I did was as mayor, as I wrote a resolution, and I asked for three things. One, that the cost of the spur be absorbed into the cost of the general line, because you just can't have 2,500 ratepayers paying, $200 million.
Right.
And another thing I asked was in a resolution, this went to the governor, the legislature, and Ada. Yeah, I had to go after my brother a little bit. But
you should use that reason.
I know, but I said there's going to be no tariff or, any in-state gas use is free. Simple as that. There's, in this, there's no royalty payment, no royalty fees on in-state gas use. And the third one that I asked was on any line coming from the spur, you're in a right-of-way, and there's no payment for the right-of-way. That way, because that would be put on the ratepayers. It's trying to keep the rates down as low as possible.
Well, I think those are all good things that we should be trying to incorporate into that spur line and into the gas line. I think it doesn't make sense to bring in new energy if because of tariffs and because of right of ways and whatnot that the energy is just as expensive as what you're currently using. So the idea is to spur the economy with cheaper energy and reliable source of energy. And so those are all good points that you've made.
Yeah, and also Trump opened up the Ambler Road.
Yeah, that was always a head scratcher for me, because back in 1980, Congress specifically mandated that the rights of way be granted for the Ambler Road project, right? From,
yeah.
Dalton Highway to the mining district, and it was just something that this administration ignored, not this administration, but the Biden administration ignored wholly, and administrations before that. So it was a head-scratcher why we took so long, and of course we were in litigation over that as well. But now we have those rights away, and now it's time for Ada to kind of work their magic and finish out, with the private rights of way that are needed with, NANA and the other entities that own land in the area. But that project's going to be great for Alaska. I think, last time I was on, you mentioned there's 2,700 jobs associated with that project.
Yeah.
And the mines that will be going in, and then also the emphasis that Trump administration's putting on that mining district, and that they just purchased 10% of Trilogy Metals, which has major claims back there. So they're putting the full force and weight of the federal government behind that project. So that's another gem that's going to be producing income for Alaskan families and income to run state government. So
who just purchased 10% of that?
U.S., United States.
That's what I thought. That's what you just say it. You know, yeah. So we're investing in ourselves.
Yeah. No. Well, and it's part of I think under that big one big beautiful bill, it provided up to $5 billion to grow America's critical mineral supply chains, and that obviously is Ambler Road. They have some critical minerals there, the germanium that is known quantity there. And so I think part of that $5 billion is going to be investing in some of these types of projects to make sure that we're not reliant on our enemies like China for our critical minerals, which is so critical in the AI race that we're in right now with China. And, you know, of course, we know how critical it is to win that AI race against China, because that would be devastating not to. So I think, you know, we're all headed in the right direction as far as the state goes, as far as the economy goes. I'm bullish on Alaska. I keep talking to people about this fourth renaissance that we're entering as a state. You know, the first renaissance being the gold rush, the second being all the infrastructure that happened during World War II, and then obviously the oil boom that occurred. But this is we're definitely headed to a fourth renaissance as we open up the state. And what it really took was a president that realized that the federal government just needs to get out of the way and let Alaska do what it needs to do, and Alaska knows how to do it responsibly. So this is all great news.
How many years were you the attorney general for?
So I was the attorney general through all 4 years of the Biden administration. So all
oh, pain and suffering.
Four and a half years. Yeah.
The never man. I mean, so basically, once every 2 weeks, you had to file suit.
It was basically that. No, and we have 90 plus, when I left the Department of Law, 90 plus pieces of litigation against the federal government and against the Biden administration. I mean, he clearly wanted to close the state down. He clearly viewed Alaska as a national park, and to reach his goal of 30 by 30, which is 30% of lands, 30% of waters, and conservation status by 2030. And, of course, he's not going to get that on the East Coast. He's going to get that in Alaska, out of sight, out of mind, and so that was a big, huge battle. And you know, we're really proud of the work that we did on that front with forming that statehood defense that I think I've talked about on your program before.
Yeah,
DNR and DEC and Fish and Game, and making sure we were on top of that. And then we received the additional $11 million from the legislature to help fight that litigation. Really good things. I only wish that we could have continued receiving statehood defense funds, because I know once these projects start moving forward or announced, we're going to start seeing environmental groups now challenge those projects, and they're going to need the funds to be able to take on that fight. And so I think eventually they're going to have to go back to the legislature for additional funds, because certainly the environmental groups pick up where the Biden administration left off. But we had some great cases that resulted in some great case law for Alaska during the time as, you know, I was the AG. We had that Sackett decision, which is going to put a huge crimp in the environmental group's ability to sue on these projects, because it just threw away the Fed's definition of wetlands, which they are trying to classify most of Alaska as wetlands, including permafrost. And so that Sackett decision was huge for Alaska. It's why we submitted our own amicus brief on it and didn't rely on other states for that amicus, because it was so critical to our ability to develop our economy. And then, of course, we had the Loper-Bright decision come out of the Supreme Court, which overthrew the Chevron deference. So
yeah, that was big.
Bureaucrats no longer get to decide how to interpret the law. They've got the courts going to use their own brains and interpret and figure out what these statutes say, and not rely on agency like they have in the past. And those are two huge things that are going to put a real give us a lot of momentum in the litigation that I expect from these environmental groups, and I think we're going to be successful.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break for about 2 minutes. We'll be back with past Attorney General Treg Taylor and gubernatorial candidate Treg Taylor, when we get back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
comfortable, friendly, professional, and yes, affordable. Those are just some of the words locals use to describe the service they receive from the folks at Affordable Dental Care. Let's face it, nobody loves going to the dentist, but the staff at Affordable Dental Care go above and beyond to make sure you and your entire family's dental experience is an easy one, using the latest technology and procedures with your comfort and care in mind, and at a price that your family can afford. That's Affordable Dental Care on 14th Avenue, just off Airport Way. Affordable Dental Care.
Backed by popular demand, the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center reintroduces Walk-In Wednesdays from 8 to 4. Bring in your hearing aids to have them cleaned and adjusted, even if you purchase them somewhere else. This will keep your aids running at their best, making sure you don't miss anything. And if you're struggling with hearing loss, you can come in and get a second opinion to see if there's something available to help you hear better. Walk-In Wednesdays from your friends at the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center. Find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
The wait is over. Allen & Peterson Cooking and Appliance Center is finally opening its doors right here in Fairbanks. Join us for our grand opening this Saturday, November 1st at 2 p.m., located at 250 3rd Street. Explore a stunning selection of appliances and kitchen gadgets designed to inspire your next creation. Celebrate with us and enter to win premium appliances and must-have kitchen gadget giveaways while discovering unmatched quality and style. Experience Allen & Peterson in Fairbanks. We've built the store for you.
Hi, this is Kevin, owner of Thermalite Glass Manufacturing here at Fairbanks. Please don't let an inefficient, foggy house window ruin your view this summer or steal your heat in the winter, especially if you're a do-it-yourselfer looking to save money. Thermalite sells locally manufactured double and triple pane glass units to contractors as well as homeowners. There's options for full service all the way to doing the whole job yourself with folks here ready to assist. Stop by our plant on 1225 Wells Street or call 457-2089 to get started.
Weather brought to you by CNR Metal Recycling, Alaska's largest metal recycling center, proudly supporting the oil and gas industry since 1992. Proud to support the last frontier.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level off around 37. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Slight chance of snow showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 25. Overcast skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have gubernatorial candidate Craig Taylor on the radio with me. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, David.
Now, you're going to be up here in about a week or two having a fundraiser.
Yeah, I am. That's that announcement, invite hasn't been extended yet, but it'll be on November 12th, the evening of November 12th. So we're looking forward to be up there. Lots of great friends in Fairbanks and great support coming from Fairbanks, and I really appreciate that.
You know, there's, 12, 13 people running for governor right now? And
yeah.
I so hope, after the primary, you're one of the final four. I really do, sir.
I really appreciate that, David. I think there's going to be sort of a sifting of sort of the candidates come February, because in February, mid-February, everybody has to disclose their donations to date. And so I think the haves and the have-nots in that, and of course, we intend to lead the pack in that, and we so far are meeting or exceeding all of our fundraising goals, which right now the name of the game is fundraising, right? You got to be able to get your message out there, because what we found is that the people of Alaska love what I did as the Attorney General, love the stances I took, love the fights I took on and the battles that we won, but most people in the state don't know what those fights were or know what those are, and so my job on this campaign is just to get out the message about what I did as the Attorney General, and then what my view for Alaska is into the future, and what I see great things for Alaska in the future. I am so bold. If I bought stock in Alaska, I would right now. So,
what are some of your bullish thoughts?
Well, I think there's just so many opportunities as we emerge as an Arctic nation, for example. I mean, not too many people are talking about these icebreakers and the importance of it, but the U.S. finally realizing that it's an Arctic nation and needs to act like an Arctic nation, whereas China before was acting like an Arctic nation, and they're not, right? And they had more icebreakers than the United States.
We had one.
Yeah, we've got three in service right now. One is not even dedicated to the Arctic. It's the Antarctic. It's to keep open that Antarctic research station lanes open.
Mm-hmm.
But so we've got the one that's going to be based in Juneau. They're still pouring money into the port down there to make sure that it can eventually be the home port for the Storis, which is the one that was announced in August and christened in August. That's the term you use for naval ships, which I think it is. But we've got all these other ones announced. So we got one currently being built called the Polar in Mississippi. That's going to be big, heavy. It's going to be the largest in our inventory, and we don't know where it's going to be ported yet. We think they've announced plans in Seattle to expand the port there to accommodate up to four additional icebreakers. But the amount of icebreakers announced are more than four. So we know we're going to need ports here in Alaska to service those and to hopefully be home ports for those. And once you have the icebreakers, suddenly you have that ability to connect commerce through the Arctic, which is going to be huge, and we're already seeing sort of interest in that. And then you're also going to be able to project military power, right? And along with those icebreakers will come naval vessels as well that'll need to be able to port here in Alaska. And so that's a big deal. So the Trump administration just announced up to 11 new additional icebreakers. Four are being built in Finland, which I don't know if the listeners know this, but Finland is like the world's best icebreaker builders and designers, and they build up to 60% of those in the world, and they design up to over 80%. And so they're going to build the first four, and then they're going to show us how to build them, four additional ones in Louisiana and three in Texas. So that's up to 11 additional icebreakers.
So all of a sudden we're icebreaker heavy.
Yes. Well, we need them desperately.
You know, Kodiak might be a good spot for one.
Kodiak currently doesn't have the port for it. And so they're going to have to do some port upgrades because these breakers are bigger than what Kodiak can handle. And so they're certainly looking for the best places in Alaska to sort of project this Arctic power. And along with that will come, like I said, ports and naval vessels that accompany those you know, the Russians have over 50 icebreakers. China currently is operating over five. So, you know, we're finally getting into the race that we should have been in a long time ago, and it's going to be an economic boom for Alaska.
So how do you go about running a statewide campaign when you've never ran a campaign before? Why? Besides having a really fast learning curve.
Yeah, it's a fast learning curve. And, you know, before I got in the race, I made sure we had a team that was going to be able to do this. I wouldn't have got into the race unless I thought I had a clear lane for winning the race.
Yeah.
So you surround yourself with really smart people, just the same thing you would do as the governor of Alaska. You surround yourself with smart people that have the knowledge base that you lack in certain technical areas and other areas. And you work together and you build this team and this effort. And like I said, I've been blown away by the response, especially in Fairbanks that we received. Real excited to do that fundraiser on November 12th, so looking forward to that.
Good for you. Good for you. So planes, trains, and automobiles statewide. What's your air miles looking like on Alaska Airlines?
You know, the new classes are befuddling to me. I think the Atmos system, I'm definitely a platinum. So, you know, that puts me up over 100,000 easily for air miles. So, yeah, I used to be excited to go travel, and now it's like, oh my gosh, I got to get on another airplane. But it's been fun just to get out there and meet people. And to,
I should have my own personal TSA, you know, team. Yeah.
Well, you're getting used to the planes real quick. And you know, we're doing stuff out of state as well, which we're excited about. We've got a great fundraiser coming up in DC during the Federalist Society annual conference there that I'm excited to do, because people are interested in Alaska. People, you know, Trump has put Alaska squarely in the collective consciousness of the nation, and so we're finding support all over the place, not just Alaska.
How's your wonderful and beautiful wife doing?
She is doing awesome. You know, she's plugging away at her project, which is that inlet tower in Anchorage.
Yeah.
Just is a huge help. I mean, I everywhere I go, I talk to her. I talk about her being a huge resource on this campaign.
I think I told you when I met the two of you, I said, she's a great resource. You better use her, buddy.
100%. Yeah. And so she's been amazing, amazing help on the campaign. And she's got big visions and helps me expand my views as well. I think that's been the beauty of our marriage so far the last 26 years is she's got big vision. I sort of got that mindset of an attorney, like, oh, geez, we got these risks out here. But she's helped me sort of expand what I think is possible and work towards those dreams and the dreams that I had for Alaska. So, yeah, no, it's been great. She's been a great help.
After you come up here on November 12th, then where do you go, besides getting ready for Thanksgiving with family?
Well, we're going to start announcing big sort of kickoff fundraisers in Anchorage, in the Valley, and other locations throughout Alaska. So we're going to be starting to roll those out. We're working on those. We've got those dates pinned down, but working on getting those rolled out.
You know, what's the strategy going into a primary where everyone gets one vote, and then after that, everyone gets like the ranked choice stuff?
Yeah. Well, the strategy is obviously to be the number one vote getter in the primary, and that's the key. And you just got to differentiate yourself from the rest of the pack, and I'm easily able to do that because I've got a proven track record on fighting on behalf of Alaska. They know exactly where I stand on the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, on energy, because I have 4.5 years of doing it as the Attorney General and defending Alaska sovereignty and our economic future. And so that's kind of the big one that, you know. And then I've also got a lot of experience working with the Trump team. You know, that first day executive order we helped draft in the Department of Law. And we helped implement once Trump came into office. And so I've got those working relationships with the Trump administration, with the Department of Interior, with EPA, with energy. And so I can hit the ground day one-ing. And that's sort of the message we're talking to people about is we can't afford to waste one minute of this current federal administration, and we need to be able to hit the ground running and see these projects to fruition. Because you never know what the next president's going to try to do.
Sadly, you're correct with that last statement.
Yep.
Well, we got about a minute and a half left. How do you want to close it out for yourself, sir?
Oh, I just, you know, just again, overwhelmed by the response that we're receiving in Fairbanks and looking forward to talking to the people of Fairbanks on November 12th up there about my vision for Alaska and our bright future. And if anybody needs, would like to see additional information about me, you can go to Treg4, that's FORAK.com, Treg4AK.com is our website. And you can sign up to be volunteers. You can donate on that website, and you can also see kind of where I stand on some of the issues.
Sir, I greatly appreciate your time. You have a great weekend, and I'll see you when you get up here on the 12th of November.
All right, David, happy Halloween.
Thank you. And Fairbanks, that is our show for today. We got a few seconds left here, but hey, great show, I think. You know, having Treg on here at the second half and Sterling on the first half, I'm getting back into the saddle again, getting comfortable, getting the different types of guests on here and different types of subjects. And we're going into the legislature. Everyone's going to be fighting over the permanent fund. Everyone's going to be fighting over education funding. Everyone's going to be fighting over the budget. But I'll bring you people who are either frontline on it or know the past history. And that way you got the answers here on KFAR Radio. You have a good day. Happy Halloween. And I will see you on Monday.